This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Guess who's back? Back again. Jen is back. Tell your friends.
Like a bad penny, I keep showing up.
That's right. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Jen, great to have you back.
Thank you very much. Feels like I was on a vacation I really didn't want to be on.
Yeah, there's better ways to get time off work than what you had.
That's true.
She went on a two-week cruise on the Carlin Bell.
That's exactly where she was.
Like it was like a cruise on a treadmill.
Sean Bellet with us here on Sports Saturday. And, Sean, you've been in radio long enough to know and appreciate it don't work without people like Jennifer Graham.
I'm telling you, they keep the gears a-grinding. They're the glue, and you may not hear it on your speakers half the time, but really, I mean, when something happens, you notice a difference.
This year, so far through our sporting year, you know, count fall and winter, Jennifer has produced, I would say, 98% of the ball games that we've had on so far this year, and she will produce about that same percentage of the ball games when we get into our spring broadcast, which will come up in about a month's time. Sean, this is a huge day for the IHSA. A first, all four girls state champions will be crowned today. What a fun day of basketball it will be at Redbird Arena. What a great weekend of hoops it has been so far up at ISU. Of course, on Thursday, the Pena Panthers brought home the third place trophy. And we're going to have Pena head coach Brent McKinney joining us here on Sports Saturday coming up in about 10 minutes' time. And we'll also be talking baseball with North MAC coach Chris Atala, along with Lincolnwood baseball coach Josh Stone. But, John, what a magical ride it was for Pena. And, you know, making the state tournament any year is a phenomenal accomplishment. But going into the year, everybody locally expected and thought Pena would be there. And when everyone expects you to do it, and then you go and do it, to me, that makes it even a little more special than a magical Cinderella ride.
Oh, I'm telling you, it really is impressive. And I'll tell you what, there is it's a pressure cooker. And we've talked about this before. When you haven't lost, and then there's that growing expectation, and you, it's been a few dozen games since you lost. I know some teams can't handle it, and they continue to handle that pressure time and time again, and, you know, made it to the big show, and, they kept fighting till the end, and they still had that fight. You love the way they play in a third-place game like that, because you've seen it over the years. Some teams that just, they're sitting there through the third-place game, and they still can't get the previous game out of their heads, and I mean, they just scrapped. I mean, if there was, a second and a half place game, they'd fight like it was, you know, the title on the line. I loved it. Loved this team.
They were a lot of fun to watch all year, and boy, did they give the painting community lots of memories to talk about for a long, long time. So we'll be having Brent McKinney coming up here on Sports Saturday. And, you know, Sean, I think the new format, I've enjoyed it, and today is the whole point of this new format, to get all four championship games lined up in a row. And when you do something for the first time, there's always going to be tweaks, things that can be made a little bit better. And to me, they need to find out a way to get the third place games to start sooner. Because right now, these third place games are tipping off after 9 o'clock in the evening. And to me, that's just too late. And logistically, it's a lot easier to say change it than it is to actually put a plan in place to change it, because you've got different sessions, different tickets for those sessions. So you got to clear out the arena, get in the new group. But I would like to see a way for them to maybe get these third place games started. If they could do it at 6 and 7:30, that would be better, if logistically it can be done.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough pill for some people who have to drive long distance to swallow. And, you know, there are some people, they're not going to get two nights of a hotel. And you're going to have people on the road late, and that to me is just not a good thing. I saw that with, Freeburg won the state baseball title, and they had a game, in the far reaches of southern Illinois. I forgot where, I think south of Carbondale, if I'm right, Carterville. And the game ended, I want to say, close to midnight. And, hey, kids can handle that. Maybe their parents can, but their grandparents. Yeah. That's just not a good idea.
No, it all comes down to timing. You got to have enough time, and if a bunch of games go overtime or, in baseball's case, extra innings, you wind up on a later schedule. And they'll get all these things ironed out, and in the first year you're going to have some of these logistical things. But, Sean, I think so far, and it'll be interesting to see what Britt McKinney thought of the new setup, but I like the way that this is going in terms of just condensing it down. It makes for a really fun postseason ride when you got all the girls going at the same time and then all the boys right behind them just a week behind. I personally like it. We'll see how it works out here as time moves forward.
Yeah, I think, put some more meat on the sandwich on the weekends. I think it's going to drive up crowds, the energy, the atmosphere, and that's what you want, as opposed to, sometimes I think, there more can be done, like with football. I don't think there should be a 10 a.m. kickoff for a state title. And I think basketball, early tip-offs, that's a little easier to deal with. But, yeah, energy, really just stack what people want back to back to back. And, are people going to watch a third-place game for a team that they're not even involved with or don't follow? No, but
they'll watch the
championship game,
though.
They'll stick around.
You better believe they will. Absolutely.
Well, they'll sit through an extra game or two or three.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing in the 3A title game, get there a little bit early, take in another championship game before your ball game gets underway. I think that is what we will see. I anticipate good crowds today at Redbird Arena, then the same deal next week for the boys at Champaign. But as we look at the schedule today for the girls' state basketball tournament, the 1A championship game at 11, Brimfield takes on Galena. First state title game appearance for both. Brimfield's 30-4, Galena 32-3. The 2A championship will be Quincy Notre Dame at 29-3. Of course, QND beat Pena in the state semifinals. They knocked off Carthenville in the sectional semifinals. So QND will take on Winnebago, who enters 35-2. That will be a 1 o'clock tip for the 2A championship. Quincy Notre Dame looking for their sixth state championship. Winnebago will be looking for their first state title today. The 3A championship, it'll be Mundelein Carmel at 27-7, taking on LaGrange Park Nazareth Academy, who enters 33-2. That's a 5:30 tip. Both teams looking for their first state title. Third meeting of the year between these two. Nazareth beat Carmel twice already this year. And then in the 4A championship tonight at 7:15, Lincolnshire Stevenson at 34-2 takes on Barrington at 30-5. Stevenson looking for their first state championship since 1996. Barrington has never won the state title. And Sean, as you look at those eight teams, not a Cinderella to be found in the bunch.
Nope. Heritage programs. They've had the great feeder programs, and they've been strong, and no one has to knock on their door to make sure they're complying with the intent of Title IX. They have they've brought it. They've brought great coaching. They've built some institutions with those programs, and hats off to them, because I think they really paved the way for other schools to follow in their path. And we've seen better coaching. We've seen so much improvement in the girls' game.
So the girls' state basketball tournament wraps up today with four state champions set to be crowned. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Pena girls basketball coach Brent McKinney, as Pena just wrapped up a 36-2 season, finishing third in the state. We'll talk with Coach McKinney when Sports Saturday rolls on. All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. Back here on Sports Saturday, going to catch up with Pena girls basketball coach Brent McKinney here momentarily, as Pena just wrapped up a sensational year, 36-2, take home third place in the state tournament. Of course, that all happened on Thursday for the Pena Panthers with this new format. They played their semifinal Thursday afternoon, played the third place game Thursday night, and Sean, just like that, boom, let's take home some hardware.
It moves so fast, doesn't it? And, I think as coach has said, everything began, when you put the season together, you hoped the season would hold up and that there would be a postseason. And I know Omicron, all of a sudden you start getting jittery. So just to be able to have the opportunity to make that trip to the Twin Cities of Bloomington Normal and fight for that hardware, boy, what a great thing.
And everybody knew coming into the year that Pena was legit. And when everyone knows you're legit and you still make it to state, that is one satisfying ride. And head coach Brent McKinney joins us on the phone right now. And, Coach, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time here this morning. And I guess, man, you finally had a chance to exhale and relax a little bit. As you look back on this unbelievable season, what stands out to you here now just a couple days removed?
Oh, man, there's just so many great, you know, memories and just things to, you know, think about. It's just hard to kind of pick one. But obviously, you know, every time you win and go to the next game, you know, that one has the greatest memories, you know, winning the regional and then winning that first game of sectional to get to the Sweet 16 and then winning the sectional to get to the Elite Eight and winning the Super Sector. So it's like, it almost like they just keep adding up a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yep.
You know, we enjoyed each and every, you know, moment of the ride. And obviously, you know, just being at state and getting that third place trophy is probably, you know, kind of that seal of the deal for the memories.
Well, Coach, we talk about these iconic programs and all of a sudden you hit the floor and you see that jersey where they're kind of like a North Carolina of girls high school hoops in Illinois. And your girls go out there on the hardwood, and they're not intimidated. That clearly showed. I mean, I have to think QND doesn't see too many folks come in and deny them when they're trying to impose their will. I mean, six steals, they're probably not used to someone coming in and forcing turnovers against them like that.
Absolutely not. You know, I talked to their head coach, and I actually talked to their, you know, one of their assistants this morning, and they were, you know, they were kind of, you know, a little bit worried, obviously, coming into this game, and they were worried about our constant pressure on them, you know, and they did turn the ball over. You know, we just didn't, you know, hit some shots to kind of, you know, keep up with them. But, yeah, you know, obviously, QND's got a great program, and just, you know, kind of come out, and that's, you know, but we told our kids, we're not going to change anything. You know, we are who we are, and that's what got us here is by, you know, putting constant pressure and you know, doing that to teams. And, you know, and QND is a pressing team themselves. But they told me they were too scared to kind of press us because we would, you know, we've got some, obviously some good guard play. And so, you know, for them to have to completely – you know, strap what they normally want to do and find, you know, another way. You know, it's just a tribute to how good they are, but also how good, you know, our kids are. They couldn't, you know, they didn't, you know, go with their normal game plan. They had to completely change something else up.
Brent, when you came into Pena last year heading into the COVID year, it was, I'm sure, just clear right away. Man, there is a lot of talent on this squad.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I came in, actually, this is my third year being at Pena. So when I came in, most of these kids were sophomores. And so I was their, you know, JV coach. And, you know, there was a lot of expectation for this group to be able to, you know, hopefully get to that next level. And it was very evident. We were undefeated, you know, with their JV year, something like, I don't know, 22-0, 23-0. So there was and that was with, even without, you know, Jillian and Rachel playing varsity that year. But the rest of the, you know, the complementary pieces were still down on the, you know, the JV level. And so there was definitely a lot of expectation. And then you throw, you know, last year, nobody had a postseason. So they kind of felt like, you know, they got robbed or they, you know, they missed out on an opportunity to, you know, get some experience in. I mean, it's a whole different type of pressure once you get to sectional and the super sectional. And if you haven't really experienced that yet, you know, it can be kind of a challenge. But I thought our girls did a great job. You know, they've been dreaming about this since junior high. And, you know, most of them went to St. Pat. And they got runner-up finished a couple times there for IESA. So they've had their eye on the prize for a couple years. you know, and we lost that first game. A lot of tears were shed, and should have, you know, because they, you know, were so close. Not a whole lot of teams get that opportunity to get that close. But then they, you know, they bounced back for the 4 hours later to be able to play in the third place game and still had the motor going and stuff. So, you know, there was definitely a lot of expectations, and just based on that, you know, you put a lot of pressure on yourself as a coach because you want to get those kids to that, you know, to that level, because, you know, you don't get this kind of team, you know, every year.
Boy, you talk about taking on one of the great stars in the game. They're an All-State guard. I mean, those are some pretty flashy stats, averaging over 25 points a game, and to hold her to a dozen or so. That speaks volumes about not only the character of your kids, but I have to think shows you the preparation that you bring to the table.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were, you know, excited for that kind of a matchup. You're going to see two All-Staters, you know, go at it. You know, most small schools, you know, don't have a kid that could, you know, do that to Abby Trick. You know, like you said, she was averaging 25. We cut that in half at 13, and she still hit a couple dagger shots on us. She hit one at the end of the first quarter. Hit one right before halftime that really kind of stung a little bit because we were starting to make a run at them and getting them a little bit wore out. And then she drained a tough three. Hamilton was right there. She kind of shot faked it and then just kind of threw it up from her hip, and it, you know, and it went in. That was part of our big game plan, was to try to do everything we could to, you know, make it difficult, because obviously a caliber player like that, you're not going to completely shut down. But, I mean, cut her completely in half like that, it was definitely, you know, a tribute to, you know, Jillian doing a good job on her. They like to run some blazer sets there and get her on the block. And I thought we did a good job when that person went to go screen for her, being physical with her, trying to jam her off that, not let her just go right to the block. Once she catches it on the block, I mean, she's going to be, you know, a nightmare to try to stop there, because she can kind of turn, shoot over the top of you, or drop step and go up. So she's got a little bit of size. But I thought we did a fantastic job of defending her. They just had a couple other kids that kind of hit some shots on us, and that's what it takes to get to, you know, the championship game. Sometimes you get that third or fourth option or fifth option to beat you. In that particular night, they had a couple kids that hit some big threes for them.
Painted Girls coach Brent McKinney with us here on Sports Saturday. And Brent, I'm just curious about your thoughts on this new format. It wasn't so much a state tournament weekend for you as a state tournament Thursday. So just talk to me about kind of from the time you guys won the Super to the time you hoisted that third place trophy on Thursday night. That was a lot of lifetime memories jam-packed into a short amount of time.
Absolutely. You know, I told the girls earlier in the week, you know, trying to get early to bed, get your rest, because whatever happens on Thursday, it's going to be one of the most emotional days ever. You know, you win, you're going to the championship game, so you're going to be emotionally high. If you, you know, happen to lose, you're going to have to turn around and play again, and that's going to be the end of your, you know, your high school career. So it was definitely, you know, a very emotional day on that Thursday night, but I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be prouder of how those kids respond, because going from that disappointment of, you know, not being able to get to the championship game or the title game, and then, oh, by the way, now you got, you know, 3-4 hours later, you're tipping off at 9:15 or so is when our game finally tipped off for the third place game. You know, and the kids just, you know, battle through. They know they're playing with emotion. They know this is it. You know, I mean, we talked about that before we left, that this is our last practice in this gym together. Last time we'll be together and paint a gym for a practice, and just, you know, I'm proud of how they handled all that. I will say I hope they kind of revamp this format. I don't think it's really working out for everybody. You know, to be able to play two high emotional games like that in a 3-4 hour span, I think the kids deserve, you know, better than that. So I'm hoping they'll revamp it and find a way to make it work a little better.
I mean, 9:15, that is a late, late start for a high school basketball game.
Absolutely. I mean, it's complete, and I'm a guy, and I know my kids are too, that we are a creature of habit. We like to get in a routine, you know, varsity games usually start at, you know, 7:30 during the season. You try to get there for the game ahead, you know, just to kind of stay in a routine. And, you know, being there that late, you know, and the game was probably over about, you know, 10:30-ish or so, and then to do the presentation, and it's it. You're done. You know, now it's 11 o'clock or so, and, you know, I was kind of disappointed. They kind of shoot us out of there fairly quick, you know, so you didn't even get that time in the locker room with the kids for that one last, you know, shed some tears, give some hugs out, thank you, that kind of stuff. So hopefully, like I said, hopefully they'll try to figure out a better way to be able to do this.
Well, I look at that crowd. I mean, they didn't just buy tickets and wear an orange T-shirt. I mean, they bought in a big way. I have to think your girls fed off of that because, I mean, they're out there with the face paint and headgear and every other crazy thing. They showed up in numbers, and they did a lot more than just be there.
Oh, the community was fantastic. You know, we the day before we left, we did kind of a tour of the town, went to all the different elementary schools in Pena. And, I mean, the community, the kids were just packed outside. We had the drum lines going, and, you know, it gave me goosebumps. And I'm not even from, you know, from Pena, so I could just sense, you know, how important it was to the community, how important it was for the girls to go through. I mean, that sectional final game was rescheduled. Originally, it was supposed to be on a Thursday with the weather. They moved it to Friday. Our boys were hosting a regional and playing for the regional championship. But we had to go all the way to Monticello to play. And the community, I mean, we outdrew Paris. I mean, we just had so much support there from the community. And while the boys were playing, their stands were full with the community support, too. So it's been a fantastic ride. You know, the community has been nothing but 100% behind us and, you know, cheering us on and just being there for us. Yeah, I thought we probably, out of the four class systems, I thought we probably had the most fans there.
Brent, final question for you. And, you know, only 8 teams in state get to end their season on a win. And with this team you had, this group, what a nice way to be able to go out with a W. Not that, obviously, you wanted to be playing today, of course, and you very easily could have been. But for this group of seniors to be able to close it out with a win at Redbird Arena, what a perfect end to just what was a magical ride.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're going to take this forever. You know, when they come back with their college friends and we get our picture on the wall, you know, there'll be a, you know, bragging about or talking about how we set the, you know, the school record for wins with 36, and, you know, I'm sure they'll have their medallions with them. And I mean, just the memories that were created these past few days was awesome. So, like, we stayed up here, so we were up here yesterday, and so we just kind of made it, you know, a special weekend for the girls, went out and did some fun things. And so I know that they're going to remember this for a very, very long time. They might not remember maybe who we played in the, you know, super sectional or who we played at state, but they're going to remember that we got third place. They're going to remember, you know, sharing that moment with their teammates and how they genuinely, you know, love and care about each other. And, you know, that's what small school basketball is all about.
Yeah, we talk about the memories are made on the bus and in the locker room, and in your case, over the weekend on Friday after the season was over, they'll remember that stuff forever. Brent McKinney, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. Congratulations on a phenomenal season, 36-2, third place in state. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. We just had a time of our lives.
No doubt about it. That is Brent McKinney, the head basketball coach for Pena. And, Sean, I'm glad that Pena stayed up there over the weekend. And we kind of alluded to it in the first segment, but they do need to tweak something here. You can't have these third place games for 2A and 4A starting at 9:15. No good.
No doubt about it. And I think there has to be a better way. That's just, like I said, I don't like 10 a.m. kickoffs for high school football championship games. And that has to be even more obnoxious, a 9:15 tip-off, especially if it goes in overtime. And then, you know, like I said, you get some people who aren't the most empathetic individuals. Oh, yeah, okay, I want to go home.
Well, that's exactly right. That was kind of the saddest part of the story, wasn't it, right there, that they kind of got ushered right out of Redbird Arena after that third-place game. And you're exactly right. The Volunteers have been there all day. They're like, it's time to go. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is a moment you hold on to. It's like when I DJed a prom and some girl wanted an extra song after midnight. You know what? I didn't check my contract. I played the song.
You didn't? What?
Because this is the, you know, this is this might be, you know, the greatest night of this girl's life from here on forward. And that's the way I look at it. When kids have opportunities like this, they've sacrificed so much. They missed out on little social gatherings because they were driven to make something special happen out there on the hardwood. You know what? You give them every moment you can.
Yes.
And if you're home 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, big deal.
Absolutely. So congratulations to Pena head coach Brett McKinney. We thank Brent very much for joining us here on Sports Saturday this morning. We need to get to a break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears and talk baseball. Yeah, spring sports practices officially started on Monday. How about that? And it'll be game time before we know it. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will catch up with North Mac baseball coach Chris Hatala when Sports Saturday rolls on. Fighting Illini basketball tomorrow, hosting Iowa in the regular season finale, 5:30, with the pregame tomorrow on 105.3 The Ox, as the Illini need to beat Iowa, hope that Nebraska will beat Wisconsin, and then we would have a share of the Big Ten conference title for Illinois. But they will host Iowa coming up tomorrow. And Sean, you know, when you host and do different things, right, you got to make sure that you don't just talk about stuff that you like, because just because you like it doesn't mean anybody else likes it. But a lot of people know I'm a huge Duke basketball guy. And obviously tonight is Coach K's final night at Cameron. And if I had an extra $4,000 lying around, I'd be there. Cause that is what the tickets are going for. The low end ticket is like $3,900. I think I saw the high end ticket, $99,000.
Oh, wow. You know, and it is sad because, well, he's, I don't know, maybe the last of these coaches. You know, maybe him along with maybe Izzo, guys who just were the program. Yeah. And it was kind of hard for anyone to imagine Izzo becoming that because Judd Heathcote was such a larger-than-life figure. But Izzo, I think, became larger than that, even though he wasn't associated with Bird versus Magic. But, yeah, I mean, Coach K and you know, Dean down there in North Carolina and all these other legends that stay there 10, 20, 30 years. I just don't know if you're going to have them again. And, you know, Coach K battles through that back pain and back issues and everything else, and I didn't think he'd make it this far. So, it's been a privilege to watch him.
42 years at Duke for Coach K. Comes to a close at Cameron tonight. Chris Hatala joins us on the phone right now. And Chris loves baseball. I don't know that he plans on being the baseball coach for 42 years. Do you, sir?
That's right.
Chris, it's great to talk to you. And, you know, the explosion of turf football fields here has really been a boon here over the last number of years. And we've talked before with your turf field at North Mac for baseball. There's a lot of value in that for a spring sport, and I would imagine you saw that this week with these warm temperatures.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an advantage. You kind of hope that it's soggy as it has been, so some of the teams don't get the advantage we get.
And, you know, Chris, I don't know how many times I've heard baseball and softball coaches going into the first game of the year, they say, we haven't had a single practice outside. Just, I mean, my goodness, there's only so much you can do inside getting ready for baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally different to see a live pitch outside than it is inside, obviously. So anytime we can get outside, we're going to, even if it's cold, because I'm assuming the first couple weeks of our season will not be as blessed as what this week was. So.
You know, Coach, I think about the way the game has changed, and yeah, I look at the character of your kids. You know, it's tough enough to have someone in the dugout look at your pitch count, but now that the pitch count is like a matter of, okay, you have to leave. I mean, like last year, you put together a combined no-hitter. These kids have held up to that pretty well. I don't know if that can be said at every program, but certainly a big game changer here in recent years, and they've soldiered on pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, you can't tell me that a kid that's thrown a no-hitter gets to come out with, and then I bring somebody in to finish that no-hitter with five pitches and not upset your starting pitcher, but it is a game inside its game. And, you know, last year I was blessed with four great pitchers that it just all worked out. So, you know, I wish I had the situation like a softball coach does where you don't have to worry about those, but that's part of the game. So that's what I enjoy most about it.
Chris, it was such a dynamite season for you a year ago. It doesn't seem like that long ago it actually wrapped up for you. You said goodbye, obviously, to a couple of high-end seniors, but you got a lot of nice pieces coming back here.
Yeah. I mean, we started the season with probably seven returning starters. I lost one, a big one, with Owen Burley in basketball, tore his knee up. So that changes, you know, you don't think that one player can change everything, but it makes coaching a little bit more difficult there, but we've got a great group of kids, a lot of talent. You know, obviously it's going to rely on can our pitching do what we did last year, and we could probably, you know, we always bank on that 20-win season. That's what we try for, and obviously a regional championship like we did last year. So,
well, that's tough. Owen Burley, I mean, that's a great kid. I know his mom, Jen, well, and, you know, he's a fighter, but those knees, it's hard to overcome that. And, you know, I think he still is trying to play over the summer. Just, you know, I imagine even a kid like that, he's still kind of around the program, even if he's not suited up this spring.
Oh, yeah, he's been in pretty much every practice. He's a very coachable kid to me, so it's a big loss. You know, of all injuries, it's a horrible injury, but at least he still has a senior year to fight for. You know, it could be a lot worse than what it is, so hopefully he battles through it and he comes back. And, you know, I turned him into a catcher last year. He turned out to be an exceptional catcher, and he would have been a top three pitcher for me this year too. So next year he's got, you know, I've got high hopes for him. So
Chris, who steps in now behind the plate to take over for Owen?
I mean, right now we're working. We got a couple young guys. Drew Baines will probably move from a second base position to catcher the way it looks right now. But there's definitely going to be some moving parts depending on who's on the mound. So Joe Reinhart may be able to step in. He's a little raw around the edges, but he works his tail off for me. And then there's a couple freshmen that I've been working with. So obviously catching is not the easiest position to just make somebody want to do it. So there's where coaching comes into play a little
right.
bit too, I guess.
Well, so much too, Chris, coaching or catching to me is a lot like offensive line play in football. People don't really think about it until it starts to go bad.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, Owen fought right into me last year, fell right into a catching position that he rarely has ever done. And he wasn't going, Cannon Kirk was going to be my catcher last year. And after the first game, we knew Owen was the right guy and we stayed with it. So, you know, to lose a player like that for this year, because, you know, the last, you know, North Max caught lightning in a bottle here, mm-hmm. where there's three or four great years. We lost one due to COVID, but, you know, you hate to lose a player like that whenever you're fighting for some titles.
Well, the thing that strikes me, Coach, I look back at what you achieved last year. This team has the killer instinct. And, again, this isn't like being up by 30 in a basketball game where throw in the scrubs. I mean, with those pitch count limits and everything else, you just have to keep, you know, you just have to keep at it. And this is a team, you know, that they're putting in a full seven innings.
Yeah. And, you know, I love intermixing those young kids. I've got one of my own coming up, so I get to see maybe both my kids on the same field at
nice.
The same time. And they're just this group of kids, period, for seven innings, I think, has the mindset. They just got to go out there and own it. And you know, bad things. We're not good. I told him it's going to be tough to go all season with two losses like we did last year. So take the losses as we go and move on. And like I said, the ultimate challenge is to try to win 20 games and get us another regional and hopefully make it back to that sectional.
Chris, final question for you is your boy Cole. Some kids just look like ball players. He looks like a ball player.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, it's always tough that, you know, he doesn't get treated like a son. You know, he gets treated like a ball player, so he doesn't get the dad at home. You know, he gets the coach at home, too. So he's very talented, very smart player, and I think his younger brother's just as good. So to see them on the field together, I mean, Cole, he could pretty much do anything he wants. He's naturally gifted, so it's something that he shouldn't take lightly. And I've got high expectations. I shouldn't be coaching him on the field when he lives with me at home. So,
awesome. Chris Atala, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. We look forward to following North Mac here throughout the year.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Chris Atala, the head baseball coach at North Mac. And, Sean, that is a huge advantage. You know, football turf is fantastic, and, you know, it's a community thing. The soccer teams can play there. The PE classes can go out there. But, man, when you've got a turf baseball field and the ability to get outside and practice in the month of March, you can't put a price tag on that.
Yeah, that is something. And well, you talk about an advantage when you're used to playing those hops. I mean, you know how different the game of baseball is when you look at I can think of the Cardinals in the 1980s and the way the game of defense was different between turf and the grass. So when you can play in both scenarios, that's a beautiful thing because, yeah, turf is cropping up more and more and more. I mean, I know they're talking about it in the long run in Greenville. Mm-hmm. So be able to play in both. And the hops, again, they are different. I don't know if the hops, you know, are going to be quite like the 80s AstroTurf at Busch Stadium where Ozzie Smith
they're not that, no.
Worked his magic, you know, but it's still – It's a different animal than the way it responds to dirt and grass.
Oh, it's an awesome facility they have there at North Mac. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Lincolnwood baseball coach Josh Stone when Sports Saturday continues. All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. Back here on Sports Saturday, and girls basketball season wraps up today. The 1A championship game at 11, Brimfield and Galena. The 2A championship game at 1, QND and Winnebago. The 3A championship at 5:30, Mundelein Carmel against Nazareth Academy. The 4A championship at 7:15 tonight, Lincolnshire Stevenson takes on Barrington to put a ribbon on the girls basketball season. Of course, we'll have boys super sectionals coming up early next week with the boys state tournament set to begin coming up on Thursday back at the U of I in Champaign. We'll have Illini basketball for you tomorrow, hosting Iowa live at 5:30 tomorrow on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. You know, when you're a baseball or a softball coach, you got a lot of different duties that some other coaches don't have. And the big one is taking care of the field. Lots of hours and manpower are required to get those fields ready to play. And Lincolnwood baseball coach Josh Stone joins us now. And Josh, are you working on the field as we speak?
I am not currently working on the field as we speak. I'm actually driving to the field as we speak.
Getting set to work on that field. And Josh, it's great that baseball is back at Lincolnwood. Of course, Lincolnwood and Morrisonville have the sports co-op now, the high school sports running through Lincolnwood, the junior high sports running through Morrisonville. But it is great to have the baseball moniker back with the Lancers.
It is bittersweet. I enjoyed all my time in Morrisonville, but it's really nice to have the orange and black back on. So we're happy to have the Lancer baseball program back in action.
Probably felt weird for you putting red and black on.
Only the first time. After that, like I told them, you tell me, you take me to a baseball field and I'll coach anywhere. It doesn't really matter.
Well, I know it might be hard for a coach to also be athletic director, but I have to think it's easier for an athletic director to also be baseball coach since you have the most complicated game of postponements and rescheduling, what have you.
Yeah, it's not always easy, but I enjoy it. There's many times on a bus I'm calling officials to try to find someone new or cancel a softball game or cancel a baseball game. Only downfall is I don't get to see softball play as much as I'd like to. But we've got a pretty good softball coach, so I don't really worry about that softball program too much.
Hey, Gray's got it under control over there.
I think he does.
Josh, talk to me about a little bit on this squad. Obviously, first week of practice just completed. How did it go?
It went well. I was listening to Coach Atala's speech, and I just get madder and madder every time I hear about his turf and all the work we have to do to get our field ready and be in a gym. But he definitely has an advantage with that. But it's been a good week. We got outside a few times. We'll throw outside about every day, even in the snow if we have to. But it's been a great week. We've got a great team. We've got some really good seniors, but we've got a freshman class underneath them that are really pushing them. They won a regional their eighth grade year, and had we had sectionals and state with those guys, they might have made a pretty deep run. So we've got a lot of competition at practice, which is making our team better every single day, and I think we're going to be real competitive this year, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I know this is a game where, boy, staying healthy is everything. You don't often have the benefit of depth in these times.
Not always, but in my 15 years of doing this, this is one of the deepest teams I've ever had in higher baseball IQs, at least top three in the 15 years I've done this. They just know baseball. We really get through practices and not having to teach a lot, just fine-tune some things and get our reps in and get our swings in and get ready for our first game.
You know, Josh, baseball is probably the team sport where you can expect or anticipate freshmen to step in and really help you at the varsity level, because, I mean, a lot of these kids now, they're playing elite ball during the summer, seeing the quality pitching, those types of things. So freshmen in high school baseball, they can step in and they can be productive right away.
They absolutely can, and they have to, especially in a small program like we have. We have no choice with those pitch counts and as many games as we play. I mean, I just went through my open dates for cancellations last night, and I think I've only got 7 open dates from day one to the end of the season. So it's definitely difficult, but they have to step in. And many summer games that they play, some of them play almost 60 games in the summer, so they see a lot of competitive baseball. And we've got 6, 7, or 8 of them that are ready to play right now.
I look at this club and what they are able to do, and it just seems like there's no quit. You can't go to bed on you can't go to sleep on them in late innings. They just fight till the bitter end.
We preach that. We play, you know, a hard 7, we call it, and we're gonna do everything we can to make sure we shake hands after 7 innings with somebody. And they don't know how to quit, and they're energetic. They're a great group of guys to be around. They compete with each other, and but they also love each other, and it's just been a great first week, and I'm looking forward to this team playing.
Well, so many times, Josh, a high school baseball season, you alluded to it, you only have 7 open dates, so it becomes a war of attrition in a lot of ways, and not only pitching, but quality pitching becomes so crucial as you get into the grind of the season. As you sit here after the first week of practice, how many kids do you feel like, okay, this is our rotation, we got X number of guys that we can roll out if we need to?
If I had to, I think I've got 12 guys I could throw out.
Wow.
There right now. But we've had some morning practice pitchers and catchers. We've got, with the catchers, about 15 guys showing up every morning to be part of that. And we tell them, hey, we're going to put a great defense behind you. I just need you to throw strikes. And you may not think you're a pitcher, but you're going to tell that rubber, and you're going to have to throw strikes at somebody and let your defense do the work. So with the pitch counts and everything we have in system right now, we have to have guys that they have a right arm or a left arm and they're breathing. They have to throw some strikes.
I got to love the spring sports. It just sounds like a special group. And, 15 guys, everybody's a heartbeat away from having a pinch hit at bat. So it seems to be perfect as opposed to another sport where a second or third string means you're just there and garbage time. No one's on the garbage time squad.
No, I don't think we have any of that, and that's part due to them and the work they put in the off season and the athleticism they have. And we're they're competitive, and that's kind of a big word this year. We're going to compete in everything we do, and they bought into that, and they're really working hard. And I'm looking forward to a 70-degree day today to get out there and spend about 3 hours with them.
I won't tell you what it's supposed to do on Monday, though, Josh. We won't talk about that. It's not going to be perhaps real baseball conducive. But as I think about Lincolnwood and Morrisonville, always have had great numbers for each individually. And when you guys came together a number of years ago, I mean, you had a massive, massive number of kids in the program. So as we look at it now, what's the split between Lincolnwood kids, Morrisonville kids?
It's about a 75-25 split with Lincolnwood and Morrisonville. We got a couple Morrisonville kids that are out with injuries early on, or have other things going on that they couldn't play this year. But it's always been about 50-50 up until this year. But it's just, and it's always small schools. Some classes have a lot of athletes, and some classes don't. So, you have to balance that out with that. But it's almost always been a 50-50. And even the junior high program has been staying pretty close to 50-50. So we do have a lot of kids in the program, and that's a blessing. A lot of kids that work, a lot of kids to get to know, and a lot of kids that work hard, and if somebody gets hurt, the next man up.
Yeah, it's a great sport. I know, like you say, you prepare for everything. We talk about raindrops and rainouts, but, I look at, like, if there was a game today, I'm trying to think of someone hitting a ball into a 40-mile-an-hour wind gust. I mean, I guess you just have to pay attention to the weather in a much bigger way than anything else.
Yeah, you've got to have the best weather app on your phone you can find and try to anticipate what the conditions are going to be like. But like Tim said, Monday is going to be absolutely zero fun. Probably stuck inside a lot next week. But these guys get in the gym, they work hard, and they don't see it as a distraction. They see it as another chance to work. And we're just going to keep grinding until it's time to start playing games, and we'll go after it.
Now, do you have anything scheduled in terms of games for March?
Yeah, we'll start on Tuesday, the first week, and we'll play Tuesday, Saturday that week, and we've got JV-only games. With the amount of kids we have, we've got about 18 JV-only games. Wow. So those younger guys get a lot of work, so they're not just sitting watching varsity games. We've got about 50 games scheduled in the whole program between varsity and JV games, so there's a lot of playing time, and we're going to get after it early. And like I said, I think the first week we've got 6 games scheduled. I don't know how many we'll play,
right,
but we've got them scheduled.
Well, you mentioned hearing Coach Atala talk about his turf, and it was getting you just a little jealous. Terry told you, so I'll say, that's why you have freshmen, Josh. That's what freshmen are for. Get the field ready.
Yeah, that's a great quote from him, and I really wish it was true, but some of the freshmen don't know how to do it, and then you got to go back and fix them.
She's got to redo it. Josh, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. We look forward to following the Lancers this year.
All right, guys. Appreciate your time.
All right, that is Josh Stone, the head baseball coach for the Lincolnwood Lancers. And, Sean, you want to talk about a baseball guy? Josh Stone is a baseball guy.
Oh, through and through, I can tell. It's a special endeavor. You know, you're not going to get the fanfare of other sports, but, you that sense of ownership, like, working the diamond, whatever. By the way, working a diamond is really a drag.
Where is it? Bum-bum-bum. Hey, thank you so much to Pena Girls Basketball Coach Print McKinney for joining us this morning. Pena finishes third place in state at 36-2. Just a fantastic season for Coach McKinney and the Pena Panthers. So congratulations to them. Of course, thanks to North Mac baseball coach Chris Atala, Lincolnwood baseball coach Josh Stone for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. For Jennifer Graham and Sean Valent, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.